Well, it's great to be back with you again today. Last week I was gone. I was speaking for my dad, and we had a great time there. But there's nothing like being in a place that you love and a place that you love to worship and spend time with your church family. And I want to thank Gary for doing such an awesome job last week. Last week, while you guys started service, I was waiting for a service to start. We were about a half hour behind starting time. So as I'm preaching, my phone is in my pocket, and it just vibrates, and it's just continuing to vibrate, and I get this little buzz coming in, and when I get done and service is wrapped up, I pull out my phone and I got all these texts from people that are here in the service, and some of them said things like, "Wow, we've never had this big a crowd before." A few minutes later, I got the, "Wow, we've never had an offering like this before." The final one came in and said, "You know, I always bring in a bottle of water because the messages are kind of dry, but today I didn't even need it." And you guys think I'm making this stuff up, okay? You do, but I promise that's exactly what took place. Well, you know, I'm glad things were good, because that's the way it needs to be. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes life is good, and while we're enjoying things and everything is great for us, a moment later, somewhere else, or maybe sometimes in our life, all of a sudden life takes a turn and it becomes incredibly difficult. You see, in our country and literally around the world, I was just thinking this week about some things that have taken place, and I want you to listen to this. Last week, as we were talking about the path to hope, and Gary was sharing, and you hear about the path to hope and how people can find hope, we might ask ourselves, why do we even need to talk about hope? But here's the reality. Over the past 12 weeks, here's what's taken place. We've faced a surge of deadly disasters. We had three massive hurricanes. There's been unprecedented flooding in our nation. We just went through the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history just a short time ago that unfolded in Las Vegas. There's been devastating wildfires out in the west part of our nation. There was a terrorist attack in New York where somebody just goes ahead and goes and rents a truck and then drives it down through people and had a plan to carry out more things. And then just last Sunday, while we were worshiping here and time would lapse, there was a shooting as people came in to worship together. There's a lot of heartache that people are going through. A lot of tough times. Whether it's a tough time in your life or not, there are tough times all around us. In fact, sometimes we look on a national scene and we know about those things. We know that 26 people instantly lost their life. We know that people have been displaced by flooding and hurricanes and other natural disasters. But what about the day-to-day struggles? What about people being in the hospital? What about somebody saying goodbye to their mom for the last time? What about the struggles of life where a doctor walks in and says, "Look, I hate to give you this news, but it really is cancer." You see, when we look on a national level, there's been many tough moments. But when we get down to a personal level, there are so many people that are dealing with tough moments. And we ask ourselves this question: how can we go ahead and be thankful in tough times? When we're walking through a difficult moment, when we're walking through something that is way bigger than we are, how can we be thankful in those tough times? You see, sometimes we think that the Bible teaches us that we need to be thankful for all of those tough moments. When a tragedy strikes, sometimes we have in our mind that God tells us, just go ahead and be thankful for that, right? When we're having a tough time and something happens, we just go ahead and we're thankful for that. I don't ever remember a time growing up when I was going through school. I did great all the way through, but you get to high school, and when guys get to high school, sometimes you start going to school for other reasons than just to go to school, you know? And academics don't have the same priority that they used to have. I don't ever recall a time where I got that test paper back and I thought, wow, I'm thankful for this opportunity to explain this to my dad. And that just never happened. I didn't say, well, I'm really thankful for this opportunity. You see, there's a big difference between being thankful in a situation and having to figure out how you're thankful for the situation. But today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's found in the Old Testament in Psalm 118, and it literally teaches us how to be thankful in tough times. Not for all the trials and not for all the struggles, but just how we can go ahead and be thankful in those moments. And in Psalm 118, here's what we have. We have a passage of Scripture that describes being thankful, but it's in the presence and looking back on extremely difficult circumstances. When we look at what unfolds in Psalm 118, there's some questions that undoubtedly would go ahead and be in people's minds. Because in your mind and in my mind, when something tragic happens locally or globally, when we see it on the news, we often ask ourselves, how could God let something like that happen? Some of our friends might ask us, where is God in all of these things? In the hurricanes, in the shootings of people coming together to worship, where is God in that? If God's a loving God, how could he go ahead and let that happen? And you know, the reality is this, there are some questions in this life that we just do not have the answer to. But we can always go ahead and look at God's word and discover this reality, that in tough moments, all throughout Scripture, people were able to take their eyes off of the circumstance. They were able to take their eyes off of the question, and they were able to go ahead and put their eyes onto God and find the answer that they needed for that moment in their life. And today, maybe you're going through what's called a tough time in your life. And maybe you're asking yourself the question, how can I go ahead and be thankful in this difficult moment that I'm dealing with? Well, the psalmist writes it this way. In Psalm 118, in verse number 1, he says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And here's what it says, "For he is good." Doesn't say that I'm having the best day of my life right now. It doesn't say that all is well. It doesn't say that my family is completely healthy and that my job is on the way up and I'm anticipating a raise and I'm going to get a promotion. It doesn't say anything to that effect. It just says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because when nothing else is good, he is good. He doesn't say, give thanks to the Lord for the house that you're living in. He doesn't say, give thanks to the Lord because of the circumstances of life. Here's what he tells us in this statement. He tells us that the circumstances of your life and my life and his life as he was writing it, those circumstances are going to change. But there's going to be one thing that is constant and one thing that is continual. And here's what he says. He says, for he, God is good. And then he says, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy, his working in our life, his presence in our life, his holding things back from us that might hurt us or harm us or the way he interacts with us, it's enduring forever. And when you think about what Psalm 118, verse number 1 tells us, he says, in the most trying and difficult circumstances of life, we can go ahead and be thankful in the tough moments because the tough moments don't change the fact that God is good. I want you to understand for just a moment, he doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because evil doesn't exist. Can I tell you, we have some of the struggles in this life that we have. We have some of the pain and some of the heartache and some of the hurt that we have because evil exists. Evil is very strong. Evil is very rampant. Evil is literally running wild in people's lives and people's circumstances and situations. He doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because evil doesn't exist. No, he says even though evil exists, we've got to remember one thing, that God is fundamentally good. And that means that evil is the exact opposite of God. So how do you and I go ahead and give thanks in a difficult moment? The psalmist tells us, look, there's one thing that we've got to do. And it's this: we must go ahead and take our eyes off of the circumstances, take our eyes off of the challenges, and begin to go ahead and look to the Lord, because He is good. And guess what? He, in His mercy and His grace and His strength, they are going to endure for forever. The other things are going to pass away. The struggle that you're facing, the question that is nagging at you, the difficulty that you're trying to navigate your way through right now, the answer that you're searching for, one of those things and all of those things one day will pass. But He says God's goodness, God's mercy, it endures for forever. So how do we, as Christ followers, give thanks? Well, we read down through a couple of verses, and I just want to go ahead and look at a couple of things in this, and then we're going to come back and look at the last verse that's there. Because verse number one says, I'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Verse number five says, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and He set me in a broad place. He set me in a vast expansion. He put me out in an open place. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then verse number six says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He says, if God is for me, I don't have to be afraid of the circumstances of life, because God is good and God is for me. Over and over, he's going to point to the goodness of God. He says in verse number eight, he says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He says, better yet, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. He says, you look around at influential people, and here's what he says. He says, you know what? Even those influential people will fail you. Even the person that you love the most and like the best and would put your hope and trust in for absolutely everything. He says, you know what? It's better to trust in the Lord, because He is good and His mercy endures forever. You see, what the psalmist helps us to do is to take a look at many circumstances that he's lived through, some things that are taking place and some things that are behind him. And he says, in the midst of this, here's what I've discovered, that I can trust God no matter what. He says, here's what I've discovered. I've got to look to God and His goodness no matter what is taking place. So how can we give thanks to God? He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Then he goes ahead and he says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In verse number 12, he says, they surrounded me like bees. There's an enemy. There's a struggle. There's a problem. It's circled around. And he says, they were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. He goes through and he lists so many different things to overcome. And every time he comes back to this, that God is good, His mercy endures for forever. God does not change, even in the midst of our changing circumstances, and that we can trust God no matter what. And then he comes back to that last verse, in verse number 29, and he says, I'll give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. The psalmist walks down through his life, not only his life, he walks down through the life of a nation for a period of time, and he starts off and he says, look, we need to give thanks to the Lord because He's good, and he says His mercy endures for forever. And he lists all these things that could go ahead and destroy someone. He lists all these things that cause us to question, what is God up to? And then he closes it all out with the same thing, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. How do we give thanks in the tough times? We've got to take our eyes off of the circumstances, begin to put our eyes on God. We've got to take our eyes off of the challenges and put our eyes on the Christ who gave His life for us. So how do we do that? Well, we take a lesson from the psalmist and we have a deeper commitment to Christ and to prayer. You see, in verse number five, he says this, and in the midst of all my questions, in the midst of all my wondering, in the midst of all my struggles, here's what I did. He says, I called on the Lord in a time that was tough. I called on my Lord in a time of distress, and the Lord answered me, and guess what? He lifted me up and he set me in a better place. One of the things that we need right now, more than anything, is people of prayer. Our community needs people of prayer, but can I tell you this? Our nation needs people of prayer. The psalmist said, look, when I didn't know what to do and life was tough, here's how I kept my eyes on God. I begin to go ahead and talk with him, and I begin to make him my focus. When all of these things were going on around me that were a source of stress, here's what happened. I called out to the Lord in distress, and he lifted me out, and he placed me in a better place. You see, he said, I can go ahead and I can look at God's goodness and I can call out to him and I can talk with him even in the midst of a tough time, and I can be thankful because no matter how bad my life is and no matter how bad the situation is, as someone who trusts in God, as someone who believes in God, I can talk with God at any time, at any place, and he's the one that can bring an immediate change. The psalmist says, look, here's what we need. We need a deeper commitment. A deeper commitment to prayer. Who do we pray for? Right now, we ought to be praying for the hurting. There's some people in Sutherland Springs that are hurting. There's some people all throughout the world that are hurting. Romans chapter 12 and verses 14 to 16 teach us to go ahead and rejoice with those that are rejoicing, but it also goes ahead and says, weep with those who are weeping, mourn with those who are mourning. There's hurting people all around us, and we ought to be praying for them. You see, the psalmist said, I have every reason to not be thankful. I have every reason to focus on my struggle, but here's what I've done. Instead of focusing on my struggle, I've called out to God. I've begun to go ahead and have a conversation with him. So we pray for the hurting. How about this? We pray for our enemies. Sometimes we look at people and we look at people groups and we think, man, they're the worst group of people that God ever made. Well, you know what? God made all of us. And we all have the image of God. But in every one of us, evil has marred that image. Sin has marred that image. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray for our enemies. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, Jesus said to pray for our enemies. He said to love those that would persecute you and love those that would use you and say evil against you. But he said to go ahead and pray for them. Now, I'm not advocating that we lay down and let our enemies take over. Don't ever think that. But we do have a responsibility to pray for those who are hurting, to pray for the enemies that we face in life. And it doesn't matter whether it's the enemy of an argument between you and your neighbor or you and your spouse or the person down the street or an enemy of a nation or an enemy of a faith. We have the responsibility to go ahead and pray for them. You see, one of the things that the psalmist did, that the psalmist stepped out and he begins to pray in distress. And one of the reasons he's praying is because he's surrounded by enemies. How about this? Rather than going ahead and bashing our leaders and public servants all the time and going after them, maybe we ought to take time to pray for them as well. You see, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're told that just as we ought to be praying for our neighbor, we ought to be praying for kings and leaders and princes and people of all influence. What would happen if we begin to go ahead and be a praying people to where we decided more than anything, we're going to go ahead and pray for those that are around us. We need a deeper commitment to Christ and to prayer. And above all, we pray for the lost that need hope. Somebody says, how does somebody walk into a church and just open up fire? How does somebody go out into a gathering in Las Vegas and just randomly begin to go ahead and shoot people? How do people drive a truck down through a crowd of people and take innocent lives and do things? Can I tell you something? Hopeless people do hopeless things. Hopeless people are going to do things that we could never even begin to fathom and explain. There's one thing that you can do for them, and there's one thing that I can do for them. Whether it's someone that we see on the television and we don't understand, or whether it's our neighbor that we wonder if they know Jesus, we have a responsibility to go ahead and pray for the lost, that they would find the hope of Jesus Christ. Because that's the one thing that's going to change our world. It's the one thing that's going to change their life and to change our society as a whole. You see, we need a deeper commitment to Christ in prayer, but we need a deeper commitment to Christ in His Word. You see, over and over and over, the psalmist said, I want to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He said, His mercy endures forever. A part of that mercy is an attribute of God. A part of that represents His Word. We need to have a deeper commitment to Christ. We need to have a deeper commitment to God and His Word. Paul wrote it this way in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7. He says, look, just as you have received Christ Jesus, I want you to go ahead and I want you to be rooted in Him, and I want you to walk in Him. And he said, I want you to do it abounding in thanksgiving. He says, I want you to have an overflowing atmosphere of gratitude in your heart and in your life. Paul was the one who wrote, we're cast down, but not out. Paul said, we're pressed from every side, but we're not going to give up. He knew what it was like to have a struggle. But he also knew what it was like to write and tell us and to practice giving thanks always for all things in Christ Jesus. He said, in a moment, we ask ourselves, how are we supposed to be thankful when so much is unfolding and taking place? And how are we supposed to be thankful when there's so many struggles? And Paul says, look, when we begin to go ahead and understand who God is, and we begin to see His goodness and His mercy, when we know Jesus Christ, we can go ahead and in the midst of that struggle, we can be thankful that even though we may not understand it right now, on the other side, God is up to something. Why? Because He is good and His mercy endures forever. And a deeper commitment to Christ and His Word helps you and I become more thankful. You see, in John chapter 8, and verse number 31 and 32, Jesus teaches us a principle, and a lot of us know it. It says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we want some freedom. We'd like some freedom from the circumstances of life. And we say, man, if I just had some freedom from the circumstances of life, I could be more thankful. Well, Jesus really says this, when you continue in My Word, when you continue as My disciple, here's what's going to happen. You're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free from sin, but the truth will set you free from the circumstances and the struggles of life. Continuing in His Word will help us to live a life to where we can be thankful in those tough times. I love John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33. Jesus tells His disciples, in the world you'll have tribulation. Tribulation is a fancy word for problems. How many of you have problems? All right. We've got tough times. Some of us would say I could raise both hands. If I was still as flexible as I used to be, I might even try and raise my feet as well. Just to identify on every point. You know what? Jesus said in this world you're going to have tribulation, but He doesn't stop there. He doesn't say, guys, I just want you to know you're going to have struggles. Deal with it. No, He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But then He says, be of good cheer. You can be thankful. You can be grateful because I've overcome the world. The evil that wants to go ahead and keep you from being thankful in tough times, Jesus says, look, when you have Me, understand this, I've overcome that. You see, those are Jesus' words, and sometimes we look and we say, John, how can I be thankful if you only knew what I was going through? I understand in difficult times it's hard to be thankful. I completely get it. I understand it. I've been there. Can I tell you, I live in the same world that you live in. I face the exact same struggles that you face. I'm a human being just like you are. We're all in this. We all face difficulty. And no matter what difficulty we face, and no matter what circumstance we deal with, it does not change Psalm 118, verse number 1, or verse number 29. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. He endures forever. So how do we give thanks in tough times? We go ahead and make a deeper commitment to prayer, because when we start talking to God, we're reminded of who He is. When we begin to pray for those that are hurting, and pray for those that are ruling and leading, and pray for those that are struggling, and pray for those that need hope, it begins to not only change their circumstance, but it begins to change our outlook. We go ahead and have a deeper commitment to His Word, because as we have a deeper commitment to His Word, here's what happens. What we begin to believe and live will begin to change. Because when we make a deeper commitment to His Word, we're saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to let the Word direct my life rather than the circumstances. You see, Psalm 118 also has a passage tucked away in it that predicts that Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, would be the one that the builders reject. It tells us that. Jesus quotes it in Matthew chapter 23. Do you know what happens sometimes in our life? Sometimes in our life in tough times, rather than making a deeper commitment to the Word, rather than making a deeper commitment to Jesus Christ, do you know what we do? We reject the Word of Jesus Christ and we hold on to the circumstance, and all we can do and all we can see is the circumstance of life, rather than embracing the cornerstone that we can go ahead and build our life and to build our faith upon. You see, a deeper commitment to Christ and His Word is setting us up to embrace the cornerstone and to be able to build a life where we can be thankful even in the most difficult circumstances. Let me ask you something. How committed are you to prayer? How committed are you to Christ and His Word? We've got one more thing that we need to talk about, because it's at the heart of what the psalmist unfolds, and it's this. It's a deeper commitment to presence and sharing. You know, when times get tough, one of the things that we often do is draw away. Sometimes when somebody is going through a difficult time, we don't know what to say and we don't know how to act, so we avoid it. Sometimes when a nation is going through troubles and things are unfolding and people are asking, where is God, and why in the world would He allow something like this to take place, we begin to back away from it because we think that we don't have the right answer. There are questions that people will ask that we may not have the answer to. But do you know, all that we need to do sometimes is just to be present and share the hope. You see, the psalmist was thankful because God was good. He never said, man, I'm thankful that the enemy has surrounded me. He said, I'm thankful that God is good and that I can call on Him when the enemy has surrounded me, and He'll pick me up and He'll work in some way, shape, or form. See, one of the things that the church needs to be busy doing today, and the church is not a building, the church is you and I, it's believers who profess Jesus Christ as our Savior, is to go ahead and have a greater presence, a deeper commitment to being present and sharing. I'm certain that there were people that would have told David, David, have you just lived through the same years that we've lived through? It would have said, are you not aware of all the things that are going on? Why are you recording some of these things in the Psalms? And then when we get to Psalm 118, the psalmist has obviously been through some extreme difficulty, and the nation has went through some difficulty. And I'm sure some of them would have said, look, why are you writing this down? And he would have said, because no matter who we are and no matter what we go through, it doesn't change the goodness and the mercy of God. And we need to share that. So what do we need? We need a greater presence in the world. Matthew chapter 28 says, go. You and I as Christians can demonstrate thankfulness for Jesus Christ, and we can be thankful in a tough time by letting people know that there is hope and that the answer is Jesus Christ. We need a greater reliance on Christ. We can't do some of these things on our own. We can't have some of these conversations on our own. We need a greater reliance on Him. And we need a greater sense of urgency. James chapter 4 unfolds a unique setting that if we think about, so many of us have went through. Verse number 13, it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. He says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, and we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. James says, we make a lot of plans for a lot of things. And he ultimately says, it's really arrogant of us to go ahead and make all of the plans that we're going to do something and we're going to stay and we're going to carry it out, but never consider God. And how many times do we fail to realize that our life is but a vapor? It appears for a moment, it vanishes away, and then it's gone. All of us probably have someone that we know that needs hope. We have someone that's going through a tough time, but we let our tough time, or we let the tough time of someone else go ahead and keep us from being present and from sharing the hope of Jesus. The psalmist said, look, I just want everybody to know that the Lord is good, and I can be thankful because His mercy, His love, His word, who He is, it endures forever. And while things are changing around you, there's one thing that's not, and it's God. And He's what you need. How can we be thankful in tough times? How can we demonstrate it? Make a deeper commitment to prayer and talk to God and let Him know you're thankful. Make a deeper commitment to prayer and pray for others that need it. Make a deeper commitment to Christ and His word and get to know it just a little bit more and take your eyes off of your circumstances and look at Him and say, okay, Lord, your word says that you are good and I'm taking you at that and I'm going to live my life as if you are good because you are. And make a deeper commitment to being present and sharing Jesus, the hope of the world, because now is not the time for the church to back down, or for the church to go ahead and say, I don't know exactly what to say. Now is a time for us to make a deeper commitment to prayer and pray for God's help. It's a time for us to make a deeper commitment to His word and make a deeper commitment to being present and sharing. Because if we don't do that, who's going to? Jesus hasn't asked anybody else to do it. He has asked us to do it. He has called us to do it. So today, would you take your eyes off of your circumstances and begin to put your eyes on His goodness and make a deeper commitment to talking to Him, to His word, and to sharing His hope? Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the things that you've done and the things that you're going to do. And Father, today I would ask you to help us to make a deeper commitment to talking with you, to praying for those around us, to praying for our leaders, to praying for our friends and family that need to know you. Father, I ask you to help us to make a deeper commitment to your word. into sharing who you are. Father, right now, people's minds and hearts are open in ways that we can't imagine. A tough time always, in some way, shape, or form, turns a focus to you. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be willing to have those conversations with you first. Make a deeper commitment to your word so that we can have the conversations with those around us and help them to know who you are. Father, be with us in the remainder of this service. For it's in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, John, I've got a tough time. I've got some things going on. And quite honestly, I've just been struggling with this season that we're in. We're coming into Thanksgiving, and I'm wondering how I can even go ahead and give thanks. Maybe today you would just like to come and pray. Maybe you would like for someone to pray with you. Explain a little bit more about who Jesus is. Maybe you'd like to know Jesus as your Savior. You would like to learn more about that. If that's you, I would encourage you just to leave your place when we begin to sing. We'll have someone meet you right here at the front. Tell you more about who Jesus is. Maybe you're here today. You would say, John, I know Jesus, but honestly, I've let the circumstances of my life go ahead and have the focus, and I haven't necessarily been as thankful as maybe as I need to be in some of these tough times. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you would want to come and pray. Maybe today you want to come and pray for some other circumstances or situations that are taking place, unfolding around you. Whatever it might be. I want to ask you to stand with me as the band leads us in a time of invitation. If you know the words and you'd like to sing along, certainly do. But most importantly, respond to God as He leads.